5 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our text this evening. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. I want to speak to you this evening under the title, Under the Influence. Let us pray. Our loving Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to this people tonight, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Teach us how important it is tonight that we live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Most of you will recall our summer ending series on embracing the Holy Spirit. I've had numerous people that have told me that their newfound relationship with the Holy Spirit has taken them to a new level of awareness concerning the Holy Spirit being in their lives. That series this summer concluded with Paul's benediction to the church of Corinth. And it said, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word fellowship is the word koinonia there. It just really means partnership. And so I gave that verse this translation. And the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I gave you in that last message this truth. The truth is the Holy Spirit exists to partner with us. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? It was during the preparation of that last message in that series that I discovered that the Holy Spirit is directly involved with our level of thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit is directly involved with your level of thanksgiving. So on this Thanksgiving Eve, I want to deposit one truth into your life tonight. One truth for the entire message. And that is this: the more we are filled with the Spirit, and the more we flow with the Spirit, the more thankful we will be. Would you say that with me? The more we are filled with the Spirit, and the more we flow with the Spirit, the more thankful we will be. Our text for tonight starts out by saying something that's kind of shocking, but not really. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. This verse is contrasting or comparing two things, and that is simply drunkenness with Spirit-filledness. Now, that should not come as a surprise to any of us for this reason. You will recall that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there were 120 people that were in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem. The scripture very clearly indicates as these Spirit-filled people came out into the streets of Jerusalem, first of all, they were made fun of. Often Spirit-filled people are made fun of. There are jokes made about them. And the conclusion of the observers of the 120 was what? They had too much to drink. So Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says, just a second, folks, these people are not drunk as you suppose. Why? Because it's 9 o'clock in the morning and people aren't drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now think with me about that for a moment, because I must admit, I do not have much experience with either drinking or drunkenness. I have read in the story of my parents' life that when my dad accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, getting off of a tractor and kneeling at the back tire and saying, okay, God, I surrender to you. He went home to the farm, went into the house, this is the way my mother wrote it, and took every bottle of alcoholic beverage and poured it down the toilet. In my lifetime, I never saw my dad or mom ever take a drink. And when I moved into adult life, they didn't put any guilt trip on me. I made a personal decision for myself that I would be a total abstainer. And the Lord has helped me to fulfill that, if you want to call it a self-vow that I made. I don't think I've really lost anything in life by that. But the closest that I've probably ever come to drinking is eating beer-battered fish. And let me tell you, if you could become drunk by eating beer-battered fish, I would have been smashed many times. Now, I have been around a few drunk people, and I have quickly come to understand they are under an influence. Let me say it another way. They're controlled by another power. And when under the influence of alcohol, that person's actions and mind and tongue all come under the control of that other power. Ephesians 5:18 makes a significant statement. Don't try to understand the exact pharmacology of this verse. Grasp what it is saying pictorially. And the King James Version really helps us out here. The King James Version says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Look at these two words. The word drunk, it means a strong drink for the sake of intoxication. The word excess means one who has lost the ability to control himself. So what this verse is really saying is, do not drink a strong drink for the sake of intoxication, which would lead to you losing the ability of controlling yourself. Now, you and I would read that and say, why in the world did Paul ever say that? Why did he draw that contrast and that comparison? Here's why. In the first century, it was common for people to become intoxicated as a part of their religious practice. They would become intoxicated to the degree that they would throw off all restraints and become totally out of control. So in addressing what they thought was spiritual activity, Paul just simply said, don't do that. That's a wrong way to worship God. Don't do that. Instead, what you need to do is be filled with the Spirit. Now, without getting too academic, I want to say four things about the verb be filled, plural. Number one, that verb is a command. You must understand, it is not a suggestion. It is not a wish. It's not saying, if you like it, take it. If you don't, don't. No, it is a command. Number two, it's plural, which means it applies to all, not a select few. Number three, it's in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing in your life or my life. It's an ongoing thing. And number four, it's passive. That's very important. We do not do it. We permit it to happen. In other words, we permit the Holy Spirit to fill us. But here's the interesting part. This Greek word, plero, has absolutely nothing to do with contents or quantity. It specifically means to be controlled by. Let me show you this from one chapter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. Here's two instances where it says people were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first one, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, now that's a very interesting story. Paul goes to the island of Cyprus and he begins his gospel work traveling all over the island. And there is this sorcerer and his name is Elymas. And Elymas is kind of following him around and badgering him and all, just making all kinds of trouble for him. And finally, Paul got to the point, being filled with the Spirit, where he looked the guy in the eye and he said to him, you're a child of the devil. You're an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. You pervert the ways of God. The hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to go blind. And guess what happened? A mist, it says in the NIV, came over him, and he was blind. Now, it isn't the fact that Paul had so much of the Holy Spirit that he could do this. It's at this point in time he became controlled by the Holy Spirit and was able to say that under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another one. It's the same chapter. At the end of the chapter, it says, and the disciples were filled, same word, were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's bridge this to tonight's text. Paul is saying in your religious life, don't be under the control of an intoxicant, but rather, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Or could I say it another way? Live under the control of the Holy Spirit. We all need this admonishment. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled and controlled by the Spirit, three very practical things will transpire in our life. We will make music, we will be thankful, and we will walk in a submissive way. Now, for the rest of this message, I want to focus on number two. We'll be thankful. It's not that making music isn't important, because it is. It's not that being submissive is important, because it is. But on this Thanksgiving Eve, we will focus on verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate the fact that we live in a country that has set aside a day for giving thanks for several reasons. Number one, this day reminds us of our American heritage. It is a day that is not filled with commercialism. Well, until this year. Black Friday is turning into Gray Thursday, I think. Now, if you say, that's really pathetic, I can't stand that, why are they opening the stores early? If you're against it, what should you do tomorrow night? Stay home. I mean, if it's a big deal to you, I'm not saying it's a big deal to me, but if it's a big deal to you, stay home. It's a day that highlights home and family. For those of us who live in Michigan, there's a part of the day that is very painful. That's watching the Lions play football. It's very, very painful. It's a day that deepens an important aspect of our faith. It's a day that gives us opportunity to express what controls us. So after giving the command to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to see four things with me before we have communion. Number one, we're to always give thanks. Would you say that, please? Always give thanks. The word means always, at all times, constantly, and habitually. This is something we all must grasp. You see, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we will always, at all times, and constantly and habitually give thanks. Our thankfulness will go far beyond our wealth, our health, our weather, our food, or our vacations. Looking over 2012, Donna and I have given thanks in the middle of a battle with skin cancer. Donna and I have given thanks when one of two eyes just totally goes haywire. We've given thanks through some very, very difficult and challenging family issues. We've given thanks even through some financial frustration. The Bible says, always give thanks. Always give thanks. Please don't buy into the idea that we can cover all of our Thanksgiving obligations tomorrow and then we don't have to worry about it till next Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving needs to be a 365-day-a-year thing. Can someone say amen to that? Always give thanks, secondly, to God the Father. Would you say that, please? To God the Father. I trust in our faith that we don't leave Father God out of things. I know we all have a strong feeling for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and we're learning in this church to walk closer in relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. But our text tonight appeals to us not to forget our Heavenly Father. Look at these verses. Yet, O Lord, you are my Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And to him we cry, Abba, Father. I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Could I give you a little assignment for your family tomorrow? Why don't you take some time, either before or after your meal, because that's kind of when you're all together, and encourage everyone around your table to give thanks to God, and do it in this way, not necessarily in a bow your head, close your eyes, fold your hands posture. Why don't you sit around the table and look each other in the eye and say, what is there that you are thankful to Father God for? I'll tell you what, it'll make your day. It'll be the highlight of your day. Number three, it says, for everything. Would you say that? For everything. Are you like me, and sometimes you read the scripture and you say, is that possible? Do you read the scripture and say, is it really saying that? I have a hard time believing that it's really saying that. I find myself to be a simplistic literalist. What does that mean? It means I just simplistically take the word of God literally. If it says it, and I do a little study on the Greek or the Hebrew, and indeed it's saying that, whether I understand it or not, it's saying that. The Greek word here is pos, and it means everything. And if you look up numerous translations, and they're all saying the same thing, they're saying all things are everything, it means exactly what it says. I'd like to remind you that we have multiple instances of this in the scripture where people are giving thanks for everything. Look at these. Job gave thanks to God in the form of a blessing after he had lost everything in Job chapter 1. Jonah offers thanksgiving from the darkness of the big fish's belly in Jonah chapter 2. Jesus gave thanks at Passover for the bread and cup, even though he knew that bread and cup was speaking of his imminent death. Paul thanks God in a prison cell in Colossians 1, and Paul writes that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. My friends, when the Bible says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything, it means for everything. I shall never forget a cold Minnesota Saturday morning. In February of 1977, when I stood in the yard of my parents' home, my dad was in my right arm, my mom was in my left arm, and we were looking at their house, or should I say, what was left of their house. Their house, late afternoon before into Friday night, burned to the ground. At age 67 and age 64, they lost They had nothing but the clothes on their back. And I heard them give thanks for that fire. I heard them give thanks for the fact that they were alive, that they made it out. I heard them give thanks for the people who came and fought the fire, although all they did was let it burn down to the ground. The 30th Psalm tells us that God delights in such praise and thanks. And the 30th Psalm says this, that kind of thanksgiving draws us closer to the Lord. And I can tell you, hindsight, looking back, that fire in February of 1977 drew the Stocker family closer to God than ever before. See, we had a choice that day in that farmyard to either get bitter or give thanks. The Scripture says we are to always give thanks to God the Father for everything. And finally, number four, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, would you say that with me? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the phrase in the New Testament that gives us access to the Father. The Scripture says we can ask anything in His name and it will be done. The Scripture says we can believe in His name and we'll be saved. The Scripture says we can have faith in that name and mountains will move. And the Scripture says we can give thanks in that name. We have been reminded tonight that biblical thanksgiving is not something that is just attainable for a select few people, but rather biblical thanksgiving is something that is available to every person who would say, I am going to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if you will say, I'm going to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I can promise you something. Your thanksgiving is going to soar. It's going to soar beyond the level that it is today. Not because you have more of the Holy Spirit, but because you are desirous to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. My wife said to me this afternoon, she said something, or I guess didn't say something in a certain situation. And I said, you know why you could do that? Because you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit will literally change your life. And so, let's remember the single truth from tonight's message. And that is, the more we are filled with the Spirit, and the more we flow with the Spirit, the more thankful we will be. Would you say that with me? The more we are filled with the Spirit, and the more we flow with the Spirit, the more thankful we will be. Could we put the personal pronoun in there, I, and say it, the more I am filled with the Spirit. Let's say it that way. The more I am filled with the Spirit, and the more I flow with the Spirit, the more thankful I will be. I'll say it once more. The more I am filled with the Spirit, and the more I flow with the Spirit, the more thankful I will be. And Heavenly Father, I ask that that would be deposited deep in everyone's life tonight. And we would leave the church house on this eve of Thanksgiving with a desire to be influenced by Your Spirit, to literally come under the influence of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we gather around your table, I just ask in faith that the precious presence of the Holy Spirit would not only just come into this room, but would come into every life as we now come to have fellowship with you at your table. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Eldership, would you please come? We are going to gather around the Lord's table and receive communion this evening. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad you're here, and we'd like to encourage you to partake of communion. Here at Christian Celebration Center, we have an open communion service. That just simply means you don't have to have your name on some dotted line. You don't have to be a member here, there, or anyplace else. It's the Lord's table, not our table. It's the Lord's supper, not our supper. If you're here tonight and you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, come to the table with us. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this time is for you. When the bread and the cup comes by, why don't you take that bread and cup and hold it in your hand, as is our form. We hold it until we've all been served, and then we partake together. Just hold that bread, which represents the blood that Jesus spilt for you. Hold that bread, that little wafer, which represents his body that was beaten for you, bruised for you, and say, Jesus, I believe you did that for me, and I receive you into my heart and into my life. And Lord, I pray in the next few moments, new names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life as we come to the table. Pastor Leanne's going to lead us, and the eldership will serve us.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and so sin and my sorrow, and he made
marvelous.
my sin
and my sorrows.
He made them his very own. How he bore the burden of Calvary, and he suffered and he died.
The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If you're thankful that Jesus shed his blood so your sins could be forgiven, would you say, I'm thankful? If you're thankful that that which represents his body was bruised and beaten, and by the stripes that were laid on that, the scripture says, we're healed. If you're thankful that Jesus took those stripes and that beating, would you say, I'm thankful? Lord, you've heard the profession of this people. We are thankful. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to partake together, and after we've done that, put the cup in the holder in front of you, and just with your mouth, go ahead and speak your own thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let us partake together. Now go ahead. Let's fill this room with thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let the fruit of your lips be thankfulness unto the Lord. Oh, we bless your name, O Lord. We bless your name, O Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Where would we be? Where would we be without you? We would be lost without you. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. We love you so much. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless your name, oh Lord. Bless your name, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless your name, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless your name, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enabling us. Enabling us to give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look up here, please. If you're here tonight and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to encourage you to do something. Share that with somebody. Maybe a family member. Maybe tomorrow at the table. But share it with somebody that you've made a decision to let Jesus become your Lord. It's really, really important. The Bible says part of moving into a relationship is a confession with our mouth. So it's really, I know it's a personal thing. But the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we're saved. So it's a two-part thing. It's believing and it's confessing. And I would encourage you to do that. We have now for, 26 years, had a Thanksgiving Eve candlelight communion service. And we started many years ago with doing this, and it's become a tradition, and that is that we would take up a Samaritan Fund offering in this service tonight. It is our largest single offering of the year for the Samaritan Fund. The Samaritan Fund is a fund set up for those who are in our church body who come across tough and difficult times and they need some financial assistance and help. Do you know what the Bible says in Galatians 2, verse, I think, about 10? It says that you and I should be eager to help the poor. Eager. I don't ask you to do something that we don't do. Donna and I give regularly out of every 2 weeks' paycheck. We give regularly to the Samaritan Fund. There are so many promises. And you see the heart of God has compassion for people that are in need. I've asked our care pastor for a list of people we've helped in the last year. Just listen to these circumstances. Helped a physically handicapped person with a Dial Ride tickets. That just touched my heart. That's so good. Helped a single father diagnosed with cancer pay the rent. Helped a couple pay rent when husband was hospitalized for an extended stay. Helped a couple with utilities during a jobless space of time. Helped a single mom with bills during time of having to be off work due to surgery. Helped people obtain Christian professional counseling. And finally paid for repairs on cars. That's just a snippet to show you where all this goes. And so I'm going to ask you to be generous in your Samaritan Fund offering. And in fact, here's how we'll work this tonight. If you're giving tithe, or if you're giving missions, faith, promise money, or capital campaign, then make sure you mark that. Because anything put unmarked in the offering will go to the Samaritan Fund. Okay? If you want giving credit, take the offering envelope from the right-hand side where it says, we have a line for Samaritan Fund. Just put it right in there. Okay? Thank you, ushers, for coming forward and serving the people. And I thank you, Lord, that you've put in the heart of this people a desire to help those that come at times into needy times and needy situations, and I just pray that you would extend their reaching out tonight in this manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give tonight. Dayton's going to minister in music.
Why should I feel discouraged? Oh, and why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely? Jesus is my portion. Oh, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me, so I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. His eye is on the and I know he watches over me. So let not your weary heart be troubled, for it's his tender voice I hear, and resting on
Thank you, Dayton. And thank you, Dino. That is the best I've ever heard you play that instrument, young man. Awesome. Now, for some of you who don't know who Dino is, he's a dinosaur, okay? So just worry about it, okay? This coming Sunday, we will have our service, a single service, at 10 o'clock. I want to speak to you Sunday under the title, Last Days Parenting. I came across something in my study recently that just really, really revealed something to me, and that is this. In 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 3, there's a list of 19 last days characteristics. It's what things are going to be like in the last days. But in the middle of that list, there are five things that apply only to the family. So I want to give you on Sunday five last day characteristics of families. And how we need to watch out for those things for our own children and our family structures. So it's going to be a good day. And encourage you to be here. That'll be at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Donna and I wish to wish all of you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. When we think about this congregation and our relationship with this congregation, on Thanksgiving Eve, it's always Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Donna and I feel honored and privileged and humbled to serve you, to be your pastors, your wonderful people. Thanks for your partnership. Pastor Leon is going to lead us in the doxology. Give Donna and I a moment to get to the back doors so we can greet you as you leave the auditorium tonight. Have a great Thanksgiving. Pastor Leon.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and good night.